Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead. I'm your Bible teacher, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church here in Pentwater, and we are just absolutely blessed that you could join us again as we study the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen a lot of information and a lot of activities regarding this event that's yet future to us, but I wanted to go back over just a few things today to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the information that I'm going to be given today. Now, we remember that the Antichrist, if you will, this coming world leader, he signs a seven-year covenant of some sort with the nation Israel, and that starts the tribulation. We have gotten to the point in our study where we have seen the Lord Jesus opening these seven seals. The seven seals brought havoc upon this world. The first seal opened the conquest of the Antichrist. He was the first horseman of the apocalypse. The second seal started the first worldwide war of the Great Tribulation. Worldwide war. Now, this is not like the world war that we have heard about or some of us lived through in World War II. This has war actually occurring on every square inch of soil everywhere in this world. The third seal that the Lord Jesus breaks open starts the first worldwide famine. And then the fourth seal causes a quarter of the earth to be destroyed by sword, famine, starvation, and wild animals. That's the fourth horseman. Now, the fifth seal that is opened starts a persecution and a martyrdom of the post-rapture saints. Now, remember now, the rapture of the church takes place sometime before the Great Tribulation starts. So, those who are believers in Christ, those who are members of the genuine church that have made a regenerated, if you will, born again, confession of faith in the Lord Jesus will not be here for this. The Lord Jesus took our punishment. He's not going to punish us again. This punishment that is coming on this world is for those that have not taken or availed themselves of his salvation. Okay, the sixth seal causes general convulsions in the nature and the world, and there's a second blackout. The seventh seal, when it is opened, it contains seven trumpet judgment. The first trumpet causes one-third of the dry earth to be destroyed. The second causes one-third of all salt water to be destroyed. The third trumpet causes one-third of the fresh water to be destroyed, and the fourth trumpet causes one-third of the heavenly bodies to be destroyed. Try and picture the calamities that are coming on this world. The fifth trumpet also causes the third blackout and the first invasions of the demons to torment this world. It's also called the first woe judgment. Now, the sixth trumpet sounds and the second invasion of demons come upon the earth to destroy one-third of all humanity, and that is the second woe judgment. Now, the seventh trumpet sounds and the third woe judgment comes on the earth, as well as an initiation of the 13 events of the middle of the tribulation. And we're going to look at those today, as well as the seven bowl judgments. Now, look at these events of the middle of the tribulation. I've grouped them together because they are so close together, it's hard to determine what the exact chronological order of these are. First is the second worldwide conflict from Daniel 11, verses 40 to 45. And then the Antichrist is killed, according to Daniel 11:45b and Revelation 13:3. Satan then is cast all the way down to earth, and he has no longer any access to God's throne. That was from Revelation 12, verses 7 to 12. The Antichrist is then resurrected. We saw that in Revelation 13:3. Three kings are killed of the 10 world economic, political, geographical era. So these leaders, the 10 of them, the three of them are killed, and the other seven submit to the Antichrist. Now that's from Daniel 7:24 and Revelation 17:12-13. Now, the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon, that happens next, Revelation 17:16. The death of the two witnesses, that's Revelation 11, verses 7 to 13. And the worship of the Antichrist begins, Revelation 13, verses 3 to 10. Now, we've seen the false prophet who has come up as well, Beast 2, as he's called, Revelation 13, 11 to 15. We saw the mark of the beast, 666, and anybody that wants to conduct any commerce, any activities of economic nature, has to have that mark in order to be part of the government system. That's from Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18. And then in the middle of the tribulation, right in the middle, 3.5 years in, the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies and he breaks the covenant. That was from Daniel 11, verses 40 to 45, and Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 22. Now, the abomination of desolation happens at that time, and that is in a number of Bible verses. Daniel 9:27, Daniel 12:11, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 16, Revelation 11, verses 1 to 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 4, and 8 to 12, and finally Revelation 13, verses 11 to 15. Now that abomination of desolation, you remember we spoke of in our last session, it is just simply that a image, like a Pinocchio, if you will, of the Antichrist is made through the false prophet, is placed in the Holy of Holies of the rebuilt temple. Satan causes it to come alive, and the Antichrist goes in, sees his image, and he demands worship and claims that he is God. This unleashes the greatest persecution that the Jews have ever seen on this earth. Now, it's important to remember that these things all have their start in the middle of the tribulation, and they continue out through the last half. Now, they're not necessarily listed in the order that I have given them, because they're so close chronologically, it's different to get them in the exact order. Let's look at the second half of the Great Tribulation. Once the seventh trumpet is sounded, now there are seven bowl judgments. Some of your Bibles may call them vials. These are unleashed upon the earth, and this is also the third woe judgment. The first bowl causes sores on the flesh, which only affect those that have taken the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. That's 666. The second bowl causes the rest of the salt water to become ruined by turning it to blood. The third bowl judgment causes the rest of the fresh water to turn to blood. And the fourth bowl judgment causes the heat of the sun to increase. The fifth bowl judgment causes the fourth total world blackout to occur, and the sixth bowl judgment associated with Armageddon. Now, the seventh bowl judgment is also associated with Armageddon, and that also will end the Great Tribulation. Before these bowl judgments come on the earth, we are given a prelude, if you will, in Revelation 15:1 to 16:1. Look what John sees here. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, verse 1 here, Revelation 15:1, is carrying on where Revelation 11:19 left off. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Notice how the temple is opened in heaven. We see the introduction of seven angels who are in possession of seven bowls, and again, some call them vials. They contain the wrath of God in his final judgment on the earth. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over his number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, this is a view of the martyred saints of the second half of the Great Tribulation. They're victorious in light of the pressures that the Antichrist is going to make on them to worship him and take his mark. So they lost their lives, but they gained eternity, which is characterizing the Lord's admonishment here from Matthew 28, or I should say admonishment, admonition from Matthew 10:28. Look what he says. Look what the Lord says. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So no matter what happens to your body, stand fast in the Lord Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord Jesus. We are all going to life. We are all going to the other side. This is just temporary here. And it's important that we know who our Redeemer is that is opening the gateway for us to be on the other side. Now, these folks here in the Great Tribulation, they sing two songs. The first one's a song of Moses. You know, it's either from Exodus 15, verses 1 to 18, or Deuteronomy 32, 1 to 43, because he recorded two of them. Then they're going to break out into a chorus, which is recorded here in verses 3b to 4. So both Moses' songs and the martyred saints' songs are deliverance. We should sing this song daily as our Lord has delivered us from this wrath to come. It's from Romans 8:1, Matthew 3:7, Luke 3:7, and 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now, there's many other verses that we could cite to give us the assurance that God has saved us from this wrath by sending his Son into this world, and all that believe on him will be regenerated, that is, born again, as the Lord Jesus called it, and you will be with him on the other side in paradise, absolute paradise. Now, the temple is again opened. Revelation 15:5 says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony and in heaven was opened. So it's opened, but just for a short while, while in this little stage, this short stage here, the Great Tribulation. And the text reads, starting in verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girders. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is going to initiate the last seven judgments on mankind, these vials on earth. And we're given a stark contrast to the purity of the angels as seen in their attire and the unwholesome plagues they're about to dispense. You know, they're clothed in a pure white linen, and they've got these gold girdles around their chest, and they're identified as angels who have the seven plagues. Then one of the cherubim, the highest of the highest of the orders of the celestial beings, gives the angels the seven bowls full of God's wrath. And as a result of them receiving the bowls, the temple becomes filled with God's glory, the Shekinah glory, and the temple closes until the end of the bowl judgments. Now, notice how the Shekinah glory is characterized as smoke and power. Both provide us with insight into the workings of God in heaven. Now, just like a Revelation 11:19, the focus is entirely on God and the temple in heaven. The temple then closes as God separates himself from the pure sin being poured out on this world. And the text continues in Revelation 16:1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Now, this voice that comes out of the temple telling the angels to begin pouring out the seven bowl judgments of the wrath of God, and the origin of this voice is not revealed, but it's likely that it's the Lord Jesus himself, because he's been given the authority to take the earth back and conduct the great tribulation. We saw that in Revelation 5, verse 7. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about these bowls here. Revelation 16:2, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." So the first bowl is strategically directed at only the people that have aligned themselves with the Antichrist. That's the beast. That was prophesied in the 14th chapter. Let's go back there just for a moment and take a look at a few verses there. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.'" Now, the net result of the first bowl is like this skin ulcer or some malignancy in the skin. And some see this as the probable result of nuclear war that's taking place. You know, we saw similar plagues when God causes sores to come upon the Egyptian magicians in the 9th chapter of Exodus, preparing Pharaoh to allow the Jews, the 2.2 million Jews, to leave Egypt in the Exodus. Now, the saddest observation that we have here in Revelation 16 and 11 is the people that received this burning ulcer blaspheme God even more than before. And they know who's doing this because they blaspheme God, but they don't repent. They just don't repent. Now, this makes the proverb 8:36 very, very pertinent. Look what it says: "But he that sinneth against me wronged his own soul. All they that hate me love death." I want you to remember that, beloved. "But he that sinneth against me wronged his own soul. All they that hate me love death." And my goodness, that's exactly what we see taking place on this earth, isn't it? The disease is running rampant from the people that are spreading AIDS. We see the abortion levels are rising immeasurably. The murders are rising, the mass murders. Death is everywhere as Satan gets more and more and more control and influence over the people of this world. And someday, when the church is raptured out, the true church now, not with a name on the door, but all those individual souls who have committed committed to believing the gospel that Jesus died for our sins, he went into the ground for 3 days, and he rose again from the dead. If you believe that, you will not be here for these events. So physical and spiritual death here is summarized for all those who hate Jesus, refuse to take the eternal life he offers, and have that mark of the beast now. The second bowl judgment is from Revelation 16:3, and that text says, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea and became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." So it's important for us to take a look at this verse here and remember that the second trumpet judgment took out one-third of the salt water, and the remainder of the world's salt water became blood with a subsequent plague, and all the sea life died on the planet. Now, that too follows Exodus plagues that take place as expressed in Exodus 7, verses 20 to 25. It came upon Egypt for not listening to God, and the stench alone would be terrible, and the ruination of the algae and the plankton are going to remove much of the food supply for the sea life. Let's take a look at the third bowl judgment. Revelation 16, verses 4 to 7. "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, the remainder of the earth's fresh water sources is destroyed as they become blood. This has got about the same proportions as the third trumpet judgment. One-third of the water was destroyed, and now the balance is ruined. There's now no fresh water in rivers and springs to drink. There may be some potable water in cisterns and some wells until they get contaminated too, because there's underground springs and underground rivers that connect everything. So all of the fresh water will be destroyed. As the tribulation is going to continue for some time yet, and the population is going to require some water to sustain life. Finally, this guardian angel assigned to water declares the righteousness of God's judgments during this act. And since men have shed the blood of saints and prophets, mankind is given blood to drink. Then, from God's altar, a voice is heard to affirm that God's judgments are righteous. This is the fourth bowl judgment from Revelation 16, verses 8 to 9, where the text reads, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And when they scorched men with fire and great heat, and blasphemed the name of God who hath power, they did not repent. And they did not give God glory for doing these things." So, you know, we remember that the fourth trumpet judgment destroyed one-third of the light sources, causing a partial darkening of the earth. Now, this judgment makes the sun hotter so that men on the earth are scorched with increasing temperatures. And again, those on the earth that have taken the mark blaspheme God and do not repent of their sins. They will recognize that God is doing all this to them, and they still won't repent. Now, I'm going to spend a few moments before we close here on the fifth bowl judgment, Revelation 16, verses 10 to 11. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." So the fifth bowl judgment is going to result in the fourth blackout of the end times. The entire kingdom of the beast, which is the Antichrist, is going to become dark. Only the refuge areas in the three Transjordan nations where light will continue to exist will be safe. Now, in addition to that, darkness, men in this darkness are going to receive a gnawing pain that causes them to blaspheme God even all the more. There's going to be a thick darkness, which can be felt too, and then this parallels again with the plagues in Egypt from Exodus 10. Now, we're going to look at the last two bowl judgments in our next session. You know, we've seen that the Jews will receive their worst persecution ever during the last half of the tribulation, or two-thirds of them are going to die. And Zechariah 13, verses 8 to 9 tell us that. You know, the fact that even one-third of them survive is due to Michael, the archangel, and the chief prince, Daniel 12:1, where the text there reads, "And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people," that's the Jews, "and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life." I'm at a close for today, my dear friends. And I pray that you have accepted Jesus of Nazareth as your Savior so that you don't have to go through this great tribulation. And if you are a believer, God bless you. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your family that there's a way to avoid this. We can see just from the world events how bad things are getting. We can see wars are being stirred up everywhere. Nations are claiming that they want to attack the United States of America with nuclear weapons. This will all happen during the Great Tribulation. But people don't have to be there for it. We can be off the earth, as the Lord Jesus said, a blessing to be off the earth, as he said in the 21st chapter of Luke. God bless you. I look forward to talking to you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.